I'd like to speak this morning on the subject overcoming in the last days. Being an overcomer for years has been my favorite subject. There's a lot in the book of Revelation about it. So I'd like to start with the first mention in Revelation of both being an overcomer and of hearing from the Spirit. It's Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Now there's two sections to this verse. The first section deals with our hearing, what the Spirit of God is saying. That's very important, extremely important. The second, and equally as important, is it deals with overcoming. So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7a, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Verse B, verse 7, "To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, I'll tell you what, doesn't everybody want to make it to the paradise of God? I do. Yeah. Amen. I want to be there. I want to experience the glory of that. How important these two statements are for the last days. Amen. Yeah. End times that are right upon us right now. Glory to God. They're not coming. They're not out there. They're not about to happen. They're happening to us right now, this very minute of this very day, of this very hour, of this very month, of this last year of, I think, freedom. Amen. I think once you see 2008 go by and we hit 2009, you better be grounded in the Word. You better be an overcomer. Hallelujah. You better have an ear to hear what the Spirit says, because if you don't, you're in big trouble. I'm telling you the truth. Get a hold of it, and get a hold of it right now. Christianity and the church have lost their ear to hear what God is saying. They are the fulfillment of the verse I'm about to read about the blind that have a great fall. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Remember that word ditch, will you please? Jesus was speaking that, now we know, if you've read your Bible, of the Pharisees of that day. The religious leaders of that day. Amen? He wasn't talking about ordinary people. He was talking about people who lead people spiritually. Amen? We need to realize that this is an object lesson for us in the day that we live in, taken from the time of the beginning and right over to the time of the end. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, you talk about that slippery slope, right over to the time of the end. Because they were on a slippery slope, those religious people, and that's why they were about to fall into a ditch. They were religious priests, just like the religious priests, look out, that we have today. Amen? Today, though some are still called priests, now we know that, there's one particular religion that calls themselves priests. Others call themselves reverend and pastor and doctor and father. Now, there are a few that are true to those titles. So I'm not going to say that everyone that has that title is a false person, okay? Or is a hireling. But they simply are, most of them, hirelings that are only doing it for the money that they get, the prestige they get, or the position that they get. But even worse now, listen, even worse is the title Father, which for a true Christian only belongs to God. And I'm just going to use this as an example. I'm not going to go over all those things, but let's use this example, and you can think about the other titles and how they fit into this. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9 says this very clearly, and that is something that we need to think about this morning, is seeing and hearing clearly. This watchman of God has been called by God's own voice to wake up the peoples of the earth to support and sustain the remnant of God. Matthew 23 and verse 9, "And call no man your father." This is Jesus speaking. "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Now I'm going to name that one denomination. It's called Catholicism. And they are the worst offender, because all, not just some, but all of their ministers are priests, and all of them are to be called father. And that's against what Jesus said. I'm not against Catholics. I'm just saying to you that this is false doctrine. Don't call any man father. Jesus said it on earth because it belongs to the Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. When Jesus clearly said that in Matthew 23, just don't do it. Do not do it. Jesus said that title belongs to the one true God, our Father in heaven. So let's look further into Scripture and the teachings that come directly from Jesus Christ. Not from Brother Johnson, but from Jesus Christ. And then through Brother Johnson. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8, verses 21 through 25. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Now this is important to us here this morning. It's very important. Verse 22, and he cometh to Bethesda, they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him, the blind man that is, and he took the blind man by the hand, listen to me closely, and led him out of town. I never saw this till this morning. And when he had spit in his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. In other words, can you see, okay? And verse 24, he looked up and said, I see, this is important, I see men as trees walking. Verse 25, after that, he puts his hands on him again. Did you hear that? He did it again. And upon his eyes again, and made him look up. Now, that's interesting. He made him, almost like a force thing. He made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, he saw every man clearly. But listen to me. Why do you think that it took more than one laying on of hands by Jesus for that man to see clearly? No. I don't think it was because Jesus couldn't do it. I think it was because the man lacked some faith or lacked some teaching or lacked some knowledge, and Jesus had to overcome that. See what I'm saying? This overcomer, that second part of that first verse, amen? You've got to be able to overcome, because if you're not hearing and you're not seeing, you're not going to overcome. So that has to come first, amen? When that man saw people, even though they looked like trees, the man's faith was restored. The teaching was restored. The things that the man had learned maybe for years past, they were restored to him. Jesus had to do some restoration to bring about the miracle that he could overcome all the other teachings that told him he wasn't going to get healed, he wasn't going to get saved, he wasn't going to this, he wasn't going to that. Healing was for the other guys in the other parts of the Bible. It doesn't work today because it only was until the last apostle died. Baloney. It's false. It's not true. This Bible is true from the beginning to the end, or we may as well forget about it. And it's just as valid today as it was yesterday. Amen?
Amen.
But, you see, when the man looked up, he saw, even though they were not clear, people walking as trees, and all of a sudden, when Jesus laid his hands the second time, see, when Jesus restored the man's sight, he all of a sudden saw clearly. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And I don't know if he even did it on his own then, because it said, and he made him look up. Now, I don't know if that meant he grabbed him by the chin and pushed his chin up, or just the very fact that he didn't heal him the first time caused him to definitely look up the second time. But whatever it was, whatever the answer to that is, God did something that caused that restoration, that caused the sight to come back, and everything to be restored in the man's life. See, do you remember the verse that we read about the blind, great fall into the ditch in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14? Jesus went on to say there, that I didn't finish, in verse 17, do ye not understand? Then Jesus said in verse 18, and I could have finished 17, that's not my point. Then Jesus said in verse 18, the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. So Jesus said very clearly there was a defiling that had gone on in that person's life. You see what I'm saying? And today we see that also. That people are being defiled by the teachings of men rather than the teaching of the Bible. The truth of the Word. They take a verse here, they take a verse there, they take a verse over there, they take a verse back there, and they put them all together and they say this is true. Well, they were before they took them out and changed things around. But once they take them out and they put them together in the wrong way, it's not truth anymore. They defile a man. Now let me tell you, I can clearly see through religious people. This is the truth. I can see through them so clearly. For the things they say reveal their true heart. Now, Jesus, thank God, He looks on the inside of a man, not on the outside. But I want to tell you this morning that Brother Johnson says, I look a lot upon the outside because it shows me what's on the inside. Are you following that? Amen. Hallelujah. The true heart affects the outward appearance. Amen. Case in point. It has nothing to do with anybody in service this morning. Case in point. I met a married woman recently that revealed something to me a while back that she may not even have known was in her own heart. Because Brother Johnson has lost Sister Johnson, and when other women know that, that becomes a catalyst. And so I want you to try to understand something here this morning. It was obvious to me, but more than likely it was not obvious to her or others what I saw about her. But the danger to sin was there if she allowed herself to be blind, because she was married. If you follow me here. If she allowed herself to be blind to her Christian teachings. And I can understand the power of that, because I'm almost a year now without my wife, and I could easily be attracted to another at this point. I can see how that would be a trick of the enemy, because this particular person was a lot like my wife. And it would have been easy for me to latch on to that. And apparently I was attracted to that person because I was a lot like whatever she had a vision of that she didn't have. You following me? I'm not going to get into this mainly, but I'm using this as an explanation as to what can happen. So the danger to sin was there. But listen, me, she, you, I, everyone else, we have to be careful to not listen to sin, my brothers and my sisters. We have to be careful. We've had a teaching. We cannot forget our teaching. We cannot grow cold in our teachings. I don't care how much that woman was like my wife. I can't have her. She's married. I can't even have her friendship and her fellowship because of that. And because of the possible drawing. You understand? But if there's a drawing, no, no, no. Stay away. Separate. Follow me? Hallelujah. You can't even be friends. Because the devil will use that to entice you into sin. Thank you, dear sister. Hallelujah. I was looking for a word. Entice you into sin. Amen? See, it's a very deep and dangerous, remember that word? Ditch. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Now remember, I read that to begin with. I want to go over that. There were two sections to this verse. The first dealt with our hearing and what the Spirit of God is saying. The second dealt with overcoming. Verse 7a, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. B, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And again I ask you, out there in radio land, will you see the paradise of God when you die? Where will you be when you die? Because there is another paradise that gets dangled before the eyes of men. It's sin cloaked in a false paradise, amen? And it looks good, but it leads you to a place that's not paradise, believe you me. It's called H-E-L-L, or hell, amen? Amen. I do not intend this message to be very long, but it's going longer than I expected it right now. But let's look again at verse 7b, which is overcoming. In the first part, I laid the wall that we must overcome. Did you get what I just said? A wall to overcome. Do you understand that there is walls to overcome? Tracks of the devil, if you will. If you cannot hear clearly what the Spirit of God is saying, you cannot clearly see what the Spirit of God is doing. Think about that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? It rhymes, but it's good. And it's true. Amen? Hallelujah. Does that make sense to you out there in Radio Land? It had better, or you may find yourself in a very deep ditch in these last days. A ditch that you may not climb out of before the end, which will keep you in the ditch forever, for all eternity. Amen. Those who can clearly hear will also clearly see what is happening in the last days. These will be the overcomers of the last days. The rest will not see that the trap set by the enemy of all that is truly holy, the trap that is numbered 666, or the mark of the beast. I want to tell you this. I say, when I open almost every radio program, Revelation chapter 13 is being fulfilled in your lifetime. Sometimes I don't put that in, but most of the time I do. I do not have enough radio time to explain that for the radio audience, but let me explain it to you now. By the way, everyone who hears this message is going to be fortunate because they're going to get the explanation. Amen? Hallelujah. Because the understanding is this. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Now we're talking about overcoming here in the last days. And he spake as a dragon. Rather than get into it a lot, this is another beast who will deceive many, as I said before, in the name of religion, like the Pharisees were doing, like the false ministers of today are doing. Amen? In the name of religion. I don't really want to take this message into that and define it further, because let it be sufficient to say that the first beast and another beast are both controlled by Satan. Otherwise, we're going to get off on a tangent and be here for 2 hours. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 12, Revelation 13, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now that's going to be an interesting sight. And we're going to see who has an ear to hear and an eye to see spiritually to know the difference between God's fire and Satan's. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because if that doesn't convince them Satan's God, nothing will. I'm talking about Christians now. It's the Christians that that's going to really follow up, because they're going to say, oh, this is Bible. Our God did that. He's God. Uh-oh, look out. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. I've spoken many times that there are parallel things, parallel revivals, if you will, happening in the end times. Though we should find this all very enlightening, I like that word, okay, enlightening, that is to say that we are now seeing men as trees. Oh, well, that is to say, it's difficult to see clearly. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's lay our hands on these verses one more time, like Jesus did the blind man. Amen? Let's get these opened up so we can see clearly. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. I'm not sure I will have time to do that in this message, but you'll get started. Amen. And he had power to give unto the image of the beast that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast should be killed. My. Oh, what a crafty enemy we have. Amen? He's crafty. He's sly. He's sneaky. And he'll get you piece by piece, thumb by thumb, toe by toe. Amen? He takes everything that allows us to be overcomers in the last days so that we can stand firm in God in the last days, and he uses it to trap many by hearing and seeing religiously the false worship of the beast and the mark of the beast as the true stuff, which is the false opposite of the mark of God. I want to get into that, but there is a mark of God in the Bible. There are those who will be marked by God. I believe it's in Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, let me kind of conclude here. I'm getting towards the end. Verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them. Think about that, the false opposite of the mark of God. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now remember, we're in chapter 14 now, verses 9 through 11, not chapter 13. Or receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, verse 10, the same shall drink of, and this is in chapter 13, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Now I'm going to speculate there a little bit. I got to stop. It's not in my notes up here. But I'm thinking as I'm preaching this, in other words, he's going to drink of something that's not even mixed with some goodness. It's going to be all bad. Amen? I'm speculating here, okay, because there's nothing here that tells us that. But it just came to me as I was preaching this, that this is going to be the worst of the worst that they're going to drink. There's not even going to be today, there's good mixed with the bad. But there's not even going to be good mixed in with this. There's going to be no need for it because it's too late by then. Amen? Hallelujah. So verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke, verse 11, of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image. And his image. And his image. Look out, you're going to get fooled. The image of the fire, they'll worship that. It's not the right fire, it's false fire. It's unholy fire, amen? And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now please, let me close with this, and truly I am closing. Amen. Will you, my friends, find yourself hearing and seeing from the Spirit of God in these last days? Or will you find yourself in the confines of a very deep ditch that has slowly and subtly got you to go lower and lower into it? Becoming an overcomer is something like this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seen the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. He sees it all, brothers and sisters. Amen. That thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Thou hast a name and art dead. Thou hast a name and art dead. Can you apply that to today? Can you apply that to a lot of big names? Not only of men, but of buildings, of ministries. But they're dead. They used to be alive. Many of them used to be even Pentecostal. Many of them used to believe in the gifts and in healing and miracles. But now they're dead. Verse 2, Revelation 3. You can't be an overcomer that way. I said when I started this, being an overcomer is something like this. In other words, you have to overcome this. Verse 2, be watchful. Here is your answer. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. If they're dead, they need to get a hold of what still is life that is there and not let what's there go. Not let that life go, what little life they have. You see what I'm saying? Strengthen the things that remain and that are ready to die. See, they're going to die along with all the rest. And they're going to be dead if they don't get a hold of them. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. There's a perfection in God that you can't obtain. Don't let those liars lie to you. Don't let them lie to you. Those are false teachers, false prophets, false ministers. Verse 3. Remember therefore. Verse 3 says it. All you got to do is remember. Come on. Remember. Come on, just remember what you've been taught. Remember what thou hast received and heard and hold fast. And what? Repent. That's what we don't have today anymore. No more repentance. I got an email from a minister in the other side of the world that really was a nice guy, a good heart, good ministry, but part of his doctrine said they don't need to repent to be saved. You do need repentance or you're not saved. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Amen. And that's coming from a certain doctrine, from a certain large, well-known group. Amen? Hallelujah. And I don't want to get into that because I don't want to turn people off. But if you're part of that group and you know you are, get out of it. If therefore thou shalt not watch, how many people today tell you you can't see the thing coming? You can't know you're in the last days. You can't know this. You can't. Well, verse 3 of Revelation 3 contradicts all that. Alright? It's false teaching. It's the teaching of men. It has nothing to do with Bible. You don't know the last day, or maybe the last hour, but we're talking about a 24-hour period just before the last 1 hour. 24, 23, 22, 21, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Talk about 0 hour. Then the skies open up and the trumpets sound and the dead in Christ will raise and will meet the Lord and glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But until that last 24 countdown, you ought to be able to see it coming. It's a false doctrine. You know why? Because it's going to catch them unawares. It's going to give them the mark of the beast. Amen? A lot of people are going to take the mark because they haven't left yet. I'm telling you the truth. Look out, you people that have been taught this doctrine. You're going to leave before all this happens because you ain't gone. It's a lie. It's false. Not going to happen. You will leave. There will be what we call a rapture. We will meet the Lord in the air. Brother Johnson's not preaching against that one. I would never do that. Hallelujah. But I could go beyond that that some of you might not like. But well, let's continue with the message. Because there's another part of that that's false. Amen. Anyway. Are you watching, my friends? Because we're told to be watching by the teller himself. Amen. Not the knower that's in you. But the knower of the knower that's in you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you hearing and seeing with senses that are opened by the Spirit of God? Or will the last day come upon you as a thief? Will it catch you unawares? Will you be looking for something that hasn't happened yet, but all of a sudden you realize it did? Amen. It's already happened. And you may have taken the mark already. You're in big trouble. Hallelujah. This is true Scripture. The exact opposite of what many are being taught today. Brother Johnson's teaching you true truth of the Word. Please, my friends, have an ear to hear what this watchman of God is saying. Do not let this happen to you. Stay awake. See and hear clearly what the Spirit say unto you. You, my friends, and the churches. The last day signs, the end times are upon the earth. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Maranatha.